looking at the growing church. We're talking about serving, and hopefully you will see where you fit in that, where we all fit in that. We're going to need God's help, though. Shall we pray as we start? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity now to pause and reflect and consider. And we pray that your Spirit would be at work in me as I speak, in all of us, Father, as we listen and submit ourselves to your will. Father, might we trust you as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. In many parts of life, it is the outcome that matters, and how you get there isn't really that important. Imagine if you're traveling to the other side of town. Your goal is to get to the other side of town, and the exact route that you take isn't really that important most of the time. In my house, the kids need to get to school, get ready for school each morning. I don't care how it happens. It just needs to happen. I don't care if you brush your teeth and then put on your shoes and then pack your bag or do it the other way around. I don't care if your brother is faster than you are. It just needs to happen. I just want it done. Maths exams at school always used to annoy the heck out of me for a range of different reasons. I always thought if I got the answer right, I should get full marks. I think that's fair. It doesn't matter if every stage of my working isn't entirely correct, or if I may have guessed the outcome. It doesn't matter if the answer on the page is right, I should get full marks. The outcome is what matters, yes? I see we're all maths fans, and we don't care about just getting the right answer, that the process is important. Well, we're talking about service this morning, and you might be tempted to think that the outcome is what we're after. The goal is simply that people are signing up and serving. And you would be wrong. Now, my desire this morning is that we might serve. For the past 10 days or so, those booklets that you got given when you came in or you received last week about different areas to serve in the church, they've been floating around. I do hope you've had a look at them. Not only to see where there are different opportunities to serve in our church, but also to be able to rejoice in all the different ways that you are served and that others are being served by this church. All the different ways that people are involved. I know a number of you have spoken to me about how encouraging it has been to read those booklets and to see all the different ways that service is happening, that people are being looked after. I hope that God has prompted you to serve, to minister. For those two words mean the same thing. To minister is to serve is to minister. I hope God has been nudging you, saying, is this an area where you could serve? But my aim this morning, my intent, I want to be very clear with you, it's not simply to get people to sign up to do stuff. The outcome is not the most important thing. Because, as we've heard a little bit from Phyllis already this morning, it is possible to get the outcome, but to get there the wrong way. To serve, but to serve for very wrong reasons. If I'm honest, my maths teachers were probably right to not give me full marks for guessing the answers in exams, because I didn't know maths, still don't really. And them not giving me the full marks was kind of the point. It's possible to serve in church. It's possible to have a church full of people who are serving. But for those people and for that church to actually be damaging itself, hurting itself through its service. Now, I want us to be growing in service. I want us to be a church where every single person serves and where every single person is served. I'm utterly convinced that that is a right pattern for the Christian church. I'm utterly convinced that that is the very best thing for us. I'm utterly convinced that this church is a church which is very generous in its service. I'm utterly convinced that Jesus calls on us to serve and to refuse to serve or to serve only the way that I want to, when I want to, how I want to. That is a very big problem for the Christian. But I don't just want the outcome. How we get there is so very important. And so I've been praying this morning, or this week rather, that this morning God would speak to our hearts and change our attitudes and that he would grow us to be a church which serves from its heart. So what we're going to do is we're going to sort of pop the lid and lift the bonnet and look at three aspects of God's work that should impact how we serve. I think they're in the bulletins there that you were given when you came in. Firstly, we are called to service by the one who has served us. We're called to service by the one who has served us. Our first reading from Mark 10 is a wonderfully honest account of the disciples. I love that the Bible, in seeking to promote Jesus, doesn't airbrush out the disaster that his disciples so often were. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, if you were writing an account, because the disciples were the ones who wrote that account, if you were writing it and you'd know that you'd messed things up, you'd just kind of fudge it a little bit to paint yourself in a good light. The disciples are brutally honest as they have written their Gospels. Here is a brutally honest account. James and John want Jesus to look after them. Now, they've realized, you see, that Jesus is God's king. They figured out he's the one, and just like a good Kickstarter campaign, they know that if they get in early, they'll get the best deal. And so what do they want? They want Jesus to give them positions of authority and importance and power. And when the other disciples hear about what James and John have done, they're indignant. I don't think their indignation comes from the inappropriateness of James and John's request. I think their indignation comes from the fact that James and John thought of it first and they didn't. But Jesus' response is to all of them in verse 42. And Jesus speaks to that base human condition of wanting to be important, of wanting to be great, of wanting others to look after you. And Jesus says, that's what the world is like. And we're not like the world. Not so with you, he says to the disciples. The Gentiles, those outside the kingdom, they lord it over each other. They hold positions of authority and tell you what to do. Not so with you. Instead, verse 43, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave, servant of all. That is the pattern for God's people. We are those whose very essence is to serve. Do you see the reason? Do you see why we are like that? Verse 45, 4. Here is the reason. Because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. We are called to service by the one who has served us. The Christian life is one of service. It can be nothing else, because the Christian life is created by an act of service. The Christian faith exists because God himself has served us, giving himself in the person of his Son, dying in our place. That greatest thing that we couldn't do for ourselves, the one way we couldn't look after ourselves and make ourselves right before him, he has done for us. And he has set the pattern for how we now live. We serve the one who has served us, and we serve others. Do you see? It's even more brutal than that, more stark than that. His act of service for us forces us to become recipients of service. It forces us to be served. The death of Jesus says to us, you can't do this for yourself. God has had to do it for us. So there's no place for demanding, no place for insisting, no place for ruling over others or lording it over others. To be Christian is to be served, and to then have that pattern of humble service lived out in every area of our lives. In the last week or two, Chris wrote the little blurb, the little introduction bit in our weekly email called News and Muse. It was a great little one. He made reference to the difference between going for a meal at a restaurant and going for a meal at your home, your family home. In a restaurant, you go and you're served. You pick the restaurant because you like the food. You have certain expectations. You choose it. They deliver it. If you don't like it, you say so and they change it. Well, we don't, do we? If we don't like it, we don't say anything at the restaurant, but we go home and we complain about it and never go back. Church is not a restaurant. Church is not a restaurant. A family meal is what church is. And a family meal is totally different. Family church meal is where we serve each other, where we all join in, sharing, helping, giving, receiving, serving. It is being part of that family, which means that we are tied together. You don't attend church, you participate in church. We are called to service by the one who has served us. Secondly, we're used in service by the one who has gifted us. The second reading from Romans built upon the truth that we've just mentioned in the first point, that we have been served by Jesus and therefore are joined together as his body. Romans 12 verse 4 says the apostle, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The Apostle Paul uses this imagery of a body over and over again in the Bible. And in each place, he ties the fact that we are a body with the fact that we have been gifted and that different gifts are given to the body for the good of the body. Have you ever had the experience of being given a Christmas present which isn't really for you? It's given to you, but really it's not for you, it's for the good of others. Imagine a chef being given a new barbecue. It's for him or for her, but really it's for the benefit of others. A musician being given a new instrument, yeah, sure, it's for them, but they use it for the good of others. You use it, others benefit. And God has given his people gifts for the benefit of others. He's gifted you, for our good. Verse 5 of Romans 12 again. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he applies them. If you've got a particular gift, you use that particular gift. However we're gifted. Notice that all the gifts there, most of them at least, are pretty plain and pretty normal. Speaking about Jesus, being generous to others, encouraging others, showing mercy to others, leading, teaching. There's a strong case to make that every Christian is gifted with many of these gifts. However you are gifted, whatever you're good at, we are to use our gifts for the benefit of others. And as that happens, two things are going on. Firstly, God is at work in us, in you as an individual. He is transforming us into the image and likeness of his Son. As we serve, as we give ourselves, we are modeling and being an example of the one who has served us. We live in an age where so very often the thing that determines whether we participate in something, whether we do something, is whether we want to. Whether or not it feels good for us. Whether we feel like it. Now, not only is that a remarkable change sociologically in New Zealand culture, it's also fundamentally unchristian. We don't serve simply because we feel like it or because we've got a gift that we want to use. We serve as there is need, as we are called to, as we are encouraged to, as we see opportunity to. We serve in the way that is best for the body. And in that way, as we serve, even when we don't really feel like it, do you see that God is at work in us, transforming us into the image and likeness of his Son, transforming us to focus on others before ourselves, transforming us to love rather than to be selfish. God works in us as we use our gifts for our transformation. And secondly, incredibly, God is at work through us. The Apostle Peter says in his first letter that each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its many forms. If anyone speaks, he says, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, You see, Peter says you don't own your gift, you're a steward of it. You're a manager, an administrator of that which belongs to someone else. The gifts that we have, the talents, the skills, we have been given them to manage them, to steward them for the good of others. Because actually, as we use them, it is God himself who is at work. As you serve, God is working. When you stand at that door and welcome people into this building, God is issuing his welcome through you. As you administer coffee or tea at morning tea, God is being generous through you. As you teach in Sunday school, God is speaking his words of love and grace and truth through you. As we serve, God is at work in us, transforming us and through us to bless his people. Lastly, we're freed for service by the one who has justified us. In the Harry Potter world, the school where the characters study has a restricted section in the library. And many libraries have restricted sections, don't they? You put your most precious books in the restricted section. The restricted section is where you restrict people from getting to the books. It's there to protect the books. At Hogwarts, in the Harry Potter thingy, that it's the other way around, that the restricted section is there to protect the students from the books, which are dangerous, which contain information, which can be misused, which is not dissimilar to Christian service, for Christian service can be dangerous. Christian service can be dangerous if I think that I need to serve in order to make God pleased with me. It can be dangerous if I serve because I really love it. Oh, I really love it when people say to me, oh, thank you, you're so good at that. Aren't you gifted? Aren't you talented? Serving can be dangerous when I serve because I think that I've got to in order to pay God back. He's been so generous to me. We hear about that all the time. He's served me. I must serve him. I'm obligated to serve him. I can't not serve him. I've got to pay him back for what he's done. See the same thing when we do it to each other. Oh, you've had me for lunch. I've got to have you for lunch. See, it's all about proving ourselves. It's all about paying others back, seeking their approval or God's acceptance by what we do. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the grace of God, it frees us from that. It is only justification by faith. The declaration that God says we are right with him through the death of his son, solely and wholly because of what he has done. That he loves us when we are unlovely. That he is kind to us when we are his enemies. It is only that which can free us to serve. Without justification by faith, without knowing that God looks on us with favor and welcome and acceptance only because of what Jesus has done for us, without that, our service will always be incredibly dangerous to us. It will entrap us in wrong ways of thinking. Our service will become a burden to us. We'll feel that we have to serve, to save face, to prove ourselves, to pay God back. Work that through. Think that through. Okay, you've got to pay God back. What happens when you serve enough? Oh, I've done enough. I'm independent of God. God can't demand anything of me. I've paid my way. Or alternatively, if you don't serve enough, you are always trapped by him. But friends, we're not independent of him. We're not trapped by him. We are freed by him to live with him and his people. We're free from having to work for his favor or to prove ourselves. We're free to love the one who has loved us. Free to serve the one who has served us. And free to show his love and to serve his people. See, the only way that we can be freed to serve is to keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who has served us already. Look at how he has loved you. Look at how he has served you. Look at how he has freed you. You don't have to pay him back. You don't have to earn his approval. He has set you free to love him and serve him, to love and serve his people. So look to him. Keep your eyes on him. That is how we serve. Know his freedom to which he has called us. Dear church, let us grow in service. Let us do that by signing up and agreeing to do things and willingly doing them. But let us do it first and foremost and keep on coming back to the fact that we are serving the one who has served us and set us free to do so. Let me pray for us. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have served us. We do not deserve it, but you have done it for us, lovingly giving your Son to forgive us of our sins, to rescue us from death itself. Our Father, forgive us for the times that we seek to pay you back, to prove our worthiness, to save face in front of others. Might we be rather good stewards of the gifts that you have so generously given us, serving you and our brothers and sisters for the praise of your glory, the glory of the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. We pray this in his name. Amen.